Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Chris Sidorick. Former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick is the face of Nike's new 30th anniversary Just Do It campaign.
Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. So don't ask if your dreams are crazy. Ask if they're crazy enough.
It's a pretty great ad, actually. Kaepernick has been a divisive figure since 2016, when he first began kneeling at NFL games during the national anthem to protest racial injustice in America. Nike has actually had Kaepernick signed to an endorsement deal since 2011, but they haven't used him in over a year. That is until Monday, when the company unveiled their new ad campaign centered around the former quarterback by releasing a close-up photo of Kaepernick with the tagline, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything." Today, Kaepernick posted a Nike video ad on his Twitter account featuring other prominent athletes like Serena Williams and LeBron James. The ad's expected to air during the NFL season opener tomorrow night. And for more on this, we're joined now in studio by WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer. Shira, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And also with us on the line from Northampton is Howard Bryant, senior writer for ESPN and author of The Heritage, Black Athletes, A Divided America, and The Politics of Patriotism. Howard, thanks so much for being here, too.
No, it's my pleasure.
Hey, Howard.
Hey, Shira, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, of course.
I'll just sit back. You guys, you know, you guys
say,
this.
Yeah, Howard and I can go back and forth for hours.
Exactly.
All right. So what do you guys think? I'm sure great on Nike. They're just all about social justice, right? And that's the only motivation here, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, first of all, just the ad. You know, it is a great ad. It's powerful. It's bold. It's inspirational. It's everything we've kind of come to expect from a Nike ad. I saw online today they had shots of a big poster on the, say, I believe it was above the San Francisco Nike store, and they had these aerial images, and again, powerful, bold. But as you mentioned, you know, yeah, it's all about social justice. I mean, I think, you know, people are saying, is this, you know, are they doing it because they're going to be all about social justice, or should we be skeptical about it? Listen, we can hold both of those ideas together. This was a calculated business decision on one hand, but there's no reason we can't also applaud them for taking a stance supporting Colin Kaepernick and the social justice issues that he wants to raise awareness about. But it doesn't mean that, you know, all of a sudden Nike becomes this great socially active company that's all about social justice. I mean, there are shades of gray here in everything.
Yeah. Howard, what did you think when you first saw the ad?
Yeah, I actually think there's more than a few shades here. I think the ad was a little disappointing to me, and I thought that it's great for Colin. I think it's great in terms of his rehabilitation that he's back in the public eye and prominent because of two things, as Sharon knows. One, Colin Kaepernick has not given an actual interview in public since January 1st of 2017. So he's been a symbol, but we haven't heard from him. He hasn't been spoken about. He never received a contract offer. He never received a tryout from anybody. He never really, in my opinion, did anything for that sort of banishment. So I think the fact that he's out and he's public and a corporation has made him public again, I think that's one thing that's great. On the other hand, I think that the ad itself, if we're just looking at the ad says nothing about where Colin Kaepernick went. The ad is completely inspirational. The ad doesn't talk about why he was banished. The ad doesn't talk about even the courage that he showed. When you're talking about even if it means sacrificing everything, there's nothing in the ad that the sacrifice that he made. And one of the things that makes me very skeptical and nervous about all of this is I'm concerned, just as I was in The Heritage, in the book, we talk about that patriotism is extremely profitable today, and now so is protest. So what I'm concerned about is, on the one hand, you've got one corporation, the NFL, selling patriotism to one base, and now you've got Nike, on the other hand, another corporation, selling protest to another base. And so neither one of these elements is, you know, should be used to sell products. And now I'm concerned that both are.
Yeah, and Nike and the NFL have a partnership. We'll get into that in just a second.
And that's the other thing.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, one of the interesting things, I think, just to back up what Howard is saying about selling protest, the statistics that are coming out of the Nike ad already, Kaepernick's Nike ad, is that it has generated $43 million in free advertising, which is just astounding. But I will have to disagree with you. I understand where you're coming from, Howard, in the sense that it doesn't go into detail, but I think this is where we're at in some respects, or where the larger population is at. Like, people are going to, you give this inspirational ad. I think people are now aware of this. There, you know, this has been the talk of Twitter, for whatever that's worth, or talk of social media, for the last couple of days, and people are looking things up. They're going to see this, as Chris mentioned, during the NFL opener. It's going to raise awareness. And I was just in the Patriots locker room the other day talking to Devin McCourty, and he feels that that's the stage that this sort of campaign all around the NFL, or among NFL players, is at. You know, raising awareness, players.
But if you didn't
educated.
Know what the actual
yeah,
protest was originally
yeah.
about,
yes, it could
this...
lead to some misinterpretations. Yes,
yeah,
it can lead to misinterpretations. Or
well, I actually don't think it leads to misinterpretation at all. I think that the Players Coalition, and I think Devin McCourty, and I think that all of those guys, I think that they've done, in my opinion, I think they've done something of a disservice to what they're fighting against, because the issue that I have with them, and I read the Players Coalition piece on the Players Tribune yesterday about, you know, wanting to have action, is it bothers me that we sell this notion that protest is not action, and that somehow the idea of protesting and the idea of being physical with your protest, being in the street, is somehow less valuable than going to see your legislature. It all counts.
Yes.
And to the Players Coalition, the reason why I disagree with them is because they seem to be making a choice on this, which has been really problematic, because none of this happens without the Kaepernick physical protest in the first place.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, with just, I won't speak for any of the NFL players, obviously, but I think the way I have interpreted that is, it's not so much, you know, differentiating between different types of action, or action only counts when you go to your legislators, but in talking to some NFL players, what they want is change. They want legislative change. They want to not influence, but raise awareness about DA races, about
sure.
incarceration rates and stuff like that. So,
yeah, and you do all that with both, and I think
yes.
that's been the issue. My issue with them has been their tactics, and that's the interesting thing about Colin and this new rehabilitation with Nike, is that we will see where this goes. If you have a Colin Kaepernick be present without bringing up Philando Castile and without bringing up Laquan McDonald and without bringing up all of the reasons why he was protesting, then it looks like Nike has co-opted this, and it looks like in some ways that it's been defanging somebody who was a serious symbol of both liberation and protest. And that is a risk that is clear out there from a lot of the response that I've gotten from people saying, well, wait a minute, is Colin rehabilitated, but what happens to the issue?
I'm really curious, too, about the timing of this. This comes at a time where the NFL is dealing with a whole lot of concerns. We mentioned that Nike and the NFL have an agreement. Nike provides all 32 teams with their uniforms, prominent Nike
labels,
and all
of that. Nike has backed off its stance on protests during the national anthem.
Right.
Yeah.
You're talking about a league now. The ratings were down 10% last year. They were down
8%
the year before that.
Way down, according to Trump.
But would Nike have taken this kind of stance with a business partner, do you think, if the NFL was not kind of starting to lag, socially speaking?
Yeah.
I think there's a couple things, Cher. I'm wondering how you feel about this, but to me, I think there's two things. One is, when Colin took the knee, one of the things that I'd always heard from people was a disappointment that their support of him was being ignored. It was like, well, wait a minute, it's not just about the flag. We support him too. And so when is a corporation going to pay attention to the fact that we watch games and we buy products too? And I think that's where it goes back to what you were saying to start out, that Nike is making a smart business decision here, because there are plenty of people who support him who are looking for corporations.
I mean, let's be honest.
Him.
He was the 17th most popular. He had the 17th most popular jersey entering last season, and he didn't have a team.
He was not in the league.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
That's right. But the other piece of this that I think is sort of interesting in terms of Colin, when you look at it, is what happens to the legitimacy of serious protest if maybe now in a couple of months or next year or something we see some, you know, Nike resistance sneaker for $150?
Yeah.
What happens to all of this? I mean, I think that is the key when I think about the legitimacy of this and when I think about this heritage of Robinson to Robeson to Ali to Smith and Carlos and all of that. The commodification of this is a very, very cloudy, slippery thing. And I'll tell you something else, just to throw something else out here. Part of me thought, when we're thinking about this rehabilitation and the business partnership of the NFL and Nike, part of me is thinking, well, let's not forget we've got a collusion lawsuit going on right now between Colin Kaepernick and the NFL. Is this the beginning of a rehabilitation and a settlement that brings him back to the NFL?
We shall have to see. Howard Bryant, author and senior writer for ESPN, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it. And Shira Springer, WBUR sports and society reporter. Thanks for being here, Shira.
Thanks for having me.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Paris Alston, and Zoe Mitchell, with help today from Eve Zuckoff. Tim Skog is our technical director, and we had engineering help from Matt Lissette. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Chris Siderick. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.